Now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's time for the Fashion Rewired broadcast with Brian Hill. During the Fashion Rewired podcast, we chat with successful fashion designers and business entrepreneurs who share their powerful stories of success while providing real-time industry tips, tools, and actionable strategies to execute today with the goal of designing our listeners' brands for success. Now, here's your host, Brian Hill.
Welcome to Fashion Rewired, the podcast. I'm Brian Hill, self-taught designer and director of Phoenix Fashion Week. What does it mean to rewire? Well, I believe every successful fashion designer and entrepreneur at one time or another made the smart and necessary decision to rewire their brain, their attitude, and their actions to get them to the current level of amplified success you see today. Each week, I get to talk to entrepreneurs and fashion designers and learn how they did it to teach you guys that are listening at home. Today, I've got a good friend of mine, Javier Soto. He is the morning anchor for Arizona's popular 3TV. But take it back before that, he's a Southern California native, graduate of California State University, Long Beach. Javier's been in Arizona for 13 years, but he had a couple things that he did before he got here. His news journey started at KTLA in Los Angeles at senior year. After producing for 2 years, he decided to peek his head, his pretty face, outside from behind the camera, and that's when he became the new Javier Soto. He then went on to Idaho, where he anchored the number one morning newscast in southeastern Idaho. And then from there, we were lucky enough to have him come to Flagstaff, Arizona, ultimately getting into the news anchor chair every morning for Good Morning Arizona, award-winning anchor now from 4:30 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's a long list of cool stuff you've done so far. But Javier, tell us something else about you we didn't know.
Man, to hear that live and in person, you know, all of a sudden it takes me through that journey. As you mentioned, Southern California native, a brother with three sisters and a single mom. With all the craziness going on, I knew, you know, some of that was going to come into play. And I think that's a lot of what plays into my fashion every day, just having that female influence from those sisters and in the fashion industry. And, you know, I got to be honest, especially as a newscaster and doing my own makeup, I guess that rubbed off on me.
Well, people also don't know about Javier. He's a three-time winner of Best Dressed Anchor in town in Arizona. Also, he's a wrestler. I'm also a wrestler, so yeah. We have a lot in common there. But also, like you grew up around a lot of women. So did I. And I think that fashion, taste, and eye kind of rubbed off on us. Even though we were doing sports growing up, I think now, look at you. You look amazing. Average. You look amazing today. Yeah, you know? See, but those women in your life, they rub off in good ways.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, coming from Los Angeles, it was nothing to go down to Santee Alley, the Los Angeles Garment District, you know what goes on over there, and just walk with my older sister Monique and having her pick out the fashion and like, well, what about this? And, you know, you're a knuckleheaded kid, teenager, and you're like, I'm not feeling that. Hold on, let me put it together. And it really makes a difference. And I think, you know, it makes a difference in presentation. It makes a difference how you feel. It makes a difference how you present yourself. And I always look at it as, you know, they say the first impression is most important. When you walk in and you look money and you feel money, that transcends to the person you're meeting with, you're talking with, you're interviewing with, whatever the case might be. I mean, that's your first impression right there. That's your ticket.
That is true. What's also great about that perspective where that first impression means a lot to you, everyone loves your laugh. I heard it before you even came in. You said, I'm here, but I heard the laugh. Then I really believed you're here.
that was, yeah, a lot of people, you know, yeah. But it's like a double-edged sword. You either love it or you hate it. If you love me, you love it. If you hate it, it's like nails on a chalkboard, yeah. Man, because it's piercing and you can hear it from rooms down the hall and stuff like that. But no, it's funny. I was just with my family a couple weeks ago. My nephew graduated from high school. And we all have that same loud, you know, just loud, loud, last, boisterous, and it echoes throughout the chambers. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, they're family.
That's awesome. Everybody thinks probably your life's been pretty easy. You've had success since you came out of the womb, et cetera. But you and I both know it's been a long haul. But tell us about your rewire moment, the thing that you went different, you pivoted, and you took your life and your career differently to get to the anchor that you are today.
You know, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and I said, every person who's successful in something has had steps along the way. So it wasn't one particular step of, you know, this is where I had that moment that came to me where I said, okay, this is the avenue I want to go. I think a lot of it, you know, and you refer back to us wrestling, that's kind of the base to everything, where really, you know, when you're out on that mat, it's all you. You're not relying on a team member. You can't blame a team member. You can't look to the other person. It's all you. It's will. It's gut. It's training that went in before. It's the hard work. And that's where it all comes out. So I think when you look at that as a base, and I know a lot of wrestlers who have gone on to have successful careers in many of things,
true,
and they point back to that. You know what it's like working in a wrestling room. There is no sport like it, maybe other than boxing.
I agree.
Because the training that's involved in that, I mean, that really rewires and reworks your life to understand that there's nothing but hard work that goes into success.
Mm-hmm.
And it proves true time and time again. So, you know, to jump off that, in high school, I had a lot of success in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I came from a program, Canyon Springs High School. We were like five-time CIF dual meet champions. I was a CIF champion. You have all that success, and it starts to play a part in your head where you think you're the man. I mean, you really feel like you're the man. What happened going into my senior year, I had conversations with people talking to me about, you know, some scouts and, you know, maybe I wanted to further my wrestling career. What happened is I bought into it.
Sure.
I bought into it that I was the man. And so going into my senior year, I stopped. The drive just wasn't there. You know, I had the rings.
Sure.
I had the accolades.
Yeah.
I had the excitement built up, and it just doesn't always transfer where the work comes along with it because you've already had that success. And so going into my senior year, you know, the murmurs and all the hype was about Javier Soto. He's going to do big things here in wrestling. I was successful in football. I was successful in wrestling. I was successful in baseball. Well, all that stuff dried up because going into my senior year, I just didn't have the drive. And I basically stopped going to school.
Wow.
And so I think I mentioned to you, I was going into my senior year. We were getting ready to graduate, and I didn't have the credits to walk with my classmates.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's like a ton of bricks hit you going 50 miles per hour, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And as well spoken as I was, I couldn't talk my way out of that one. It was what it was. But what I did then at that moment, I made myself go to my high school graduation,
mm-hmm,
and sit in the stands and watch the rest of my class graduate because I wanted to do two things. I wanted to be there because I never wanted to question what that moment was like.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to feel that sting to know that I never wanted to feel that way again, to
right,
never put myself in that position,
right,
where you had to be disappointed upon yourself. And so it taught me several other things, you know, learn to do what the job at hand is, learn,
sure,
to take care of your business, and then you can get in on those celebrations. And that's really proved true, you know, throughout my life. That was one of those moments. Another one was I was at Cal State University, Long Beach. I was almost finished with my degree in film.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this isn't what I wanted to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't the passion. I was working on independent sets. The more people I spoke with, they're like, what are you doing? Why do you don't need your degree in this business. But one thing that also stood out to me was these people are working 3 months, 6 months at a time, and then they're looking for their next job. They're looking for their next project. And I'm thinking, I got to eat, man. I can't be like this. And so I pivoted,
mm-hmm,
and I had always been intrigued by news. My mother's cousin was a newscaster in Los Angeles, and I had always admired the way they looked up to him. Bernard Gonzalez worked for Fox 11 out in Los Angeles. But I just always remember as a kid, every time he came on TV, my mom would stop the entire household. look, this is Bernie. This is my cousin. And I always admired that. Or whenever we'd be at family functions, and the whole entire family would gather around him, and he was the most interesting man in the world, you know? So I had always admired that. I had always followed news. Mm-hmm. And so I figured, okay, if this is an opportunity, this is the direction I need to go. Mm-hmm. And so I completely walked away from film, immersed myself in the journalism program at Cal State Long Beach.
Sure.
And then that's when I got my first opportunity at KTLA. You talk about one of those rewire moments. My cousin had called me, and he was working for a PR firm at the time. And he says, what are you doing tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock? Well, I'm a college student. I'm partying the night before.
And sleeping.
That's what I'm doing, yeah. And he says, I need you at the USC pool tomorrow morning at 5:30. I'm working with a lady, Gail Anderson. She's a feature reporter at KTLA. I need you to be there with your resume, ready to work her, because we need to get you an internship.
I love it.
I'm like, all right. Well, what he didn't know is my other cousin was actually coming out from Tucson the night before. We went out, man, we partied, we set the town on fire. But I told him, all right, we got to wake up, we got to be at the USC pool. So we went to the USC pool, 5:30 in the morning, maybe a little hungover.
Sure.
Maybe not. But I get there, and in comes this 6'3" black woman, mm-hmm. right? Gail Anderson. And she walks out, and I walk up, I introduce myself, I go to hand her my resume, and she kind of shakes my hand and brushes me off.
Whoa. Right?
She's focused on what she needs to do. She's a reporter, sure. You know, she's got business to tend to. But the fact that she brushed me off, I thought to myself, hell no. I did not wake up at, you know, old dark 30 to come out here hungover. So for the next 3 hours while she was on scene reporting on her feature story, everywhere she turned, she saw Javier Soto. Excellent. I help you? What can I do for you? Picking her brain, trying to inject myself in her life any way that I could. And by the end of her story that day, by the end of her shoot, she picked up the phone and she called HR back at KTLA, and these were her words. I don't know who hired those other crackhead interns that you have at KTLA, but I have this kid right here and he wants to work.
I love it.
Can we get him in there?
I love it.
And so they brought me in the next day, and I started my internship a few days later. And interestingly enough, when I went in for the interview and they had hired me and they said, we want to put you with, you know, this individual or whatnot, I said, can we go by Gail Anderson's desk so I can thank her for this opportunity? They said, absolutely. So we walk over, and she's there at her desk. She's working. And I walked up and I said, thank you very much for the opportunity. She says, when do you start? I said, I don't know. They're going to get back to me. She says, I don't want him with somebody else. I want him with me.
That's excellent.
The HR lady walked away. She says, Javier, she's never had an intern ever before. I don't know what this is all about. I don't know what the experience is going to be like. But there was an opportunity. She opened the door, and on my very first day, she sat me down. She says, listen, do you want to learn or do you want to watch TV? Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to learn. Mm-hmm. And she says, okay, stick with me. Let's learn. And for the next three months of my summer internship, I mean, I learned more that has served me way better than anything I've learned on my own here in this business. And at the end of the internship, they hired me as an associate producer. And I explained to them, wait a minute, I'm still going to college. You know, I don't know that I can dedicate the time. They said, we don't care. We love you. We love your interaction with Gail. We love the buffer you kind of bring where she can do what she needs to do, mm-hmm. and you can handle all the rest of the stuff around.
Wow. In two different rewires, right? I heard a few different things that people can take from this. So the very first rewire, when you had to be transparent and look in the mirror and force yourself to see who you really were, which is a person not walking with your graduating class, that was your first action step, you know? Then from there, you went into hustle mode and you networked, which is really, really big because people are always talking about how you get these ideas and get these opportunities. It's really by networking and hustling, you know, and you did that. And then lastly, the action step was you learned. Yeah. You were ready to learn. Those three things, anyone can take those actions today, any business, you know, and I see a lot of that in what I've done to get to here. There was an athlete. I did women's workout apparel, Femme Athletic at ASU. There was a top track athlete, Gia Johnson. I followed her at a trade show, just like you did with Gia, with
Gail Anderson.
With Gail Anderson. And I just asked her a bunch of things about women's workout apparel that were missing in the marketplace. She was on a treadmill. I was asking questions with a notepad. She was running next to someone. I asked questions. All those kinds of things. Learning that action really, really works. And it transfers into what you really want to be passionate about. What you figured out wasn't film, but it was actually TV. That's amazing. From those basic actions you did, right? Talk about some habits that naturally came out of that that you really apply today in your everyday life from these kind of actions. What are some habits now that you live by every day?
You know, the interesting thing that I always say, you have to be your biggest cheerleader, yet your harshest critic. If you are not honest with yourself, you will never learn. And I think that's what one of the hardest things to come to grips with is being honest with yourself and being open to constructive criticism. If you're not open to any of that, there's never any growth. I promise you, there is never any growth. But you have to be able to look in the mirror and be able to pick yourself apart. That's not to say that you have to beat yourself up or drag yourself down. But if you can't figure out your Achilles heel, then you can't build that up.
Sure.
And that's one thing that I live by constantly. It's funny because people, you know, they go, oh, you know, I don't like hearing myself on the radio, or I don't like seeing myself on TV. But in order for me to learn, I have to watch myself. And it's the little things that I pick up on when I watch myself that I go, you know, that doesn't work. And then I have to work on that. Or maybe it's a delivery. Maybe it's the tone of my voice. Maybe it's the sing-songy approach. Whatever it might be. But you have to be honest with yourself. And yet you also have to be able to have somebody, I guess, a little above you, maybe of veteran stature, where you can learn from them as well. So that's one of the things that I like to tell anybody going into any business that you could use. You have to be open to learning. That's what life is all about.
Right.
Another thing is relationships. And whatever you're talking about, whether it's a dating relationship, whether it's a business relationship, relationships are what life is all about. You never know when somebody who you meet 5 years ago, last week, a month ago, is going to be proficient in your life and come back or teach you something. I mean, people are fascinating, but until you get to know them, you don't know that much about them. You might learn a little bit, or you think you know something.
Sure.
But you can always learn from individuals, and relationships are so important. I think in my line of work, what's proven successful is, you know, you're out at a crime scene, for instance, and you have five different reporters, everybody from different stations, and you're out there. Everybody gets their information from the public information officer, and then they scurry back to their vans and they're writing their scripts or whatever. It's those moments in between your live shots where I'm talking to that PIO. You're getting to know these people. Those are the relationships that you build. So later on, when something big is happening, you can send that text or make that phone call and say, hey, dude, you know, what's up?
Yeah.
Or just in passing, or, you know, the weeks where nothing is going on, and you say, you know, you send a text or you send a tweet and you go, hey, man, what's going on, or whatever. Those are the relationships that will benefit you a lot more than what you think. And that's what's most important. And when you hear about, you know, burning bridges and stuff, those are the relationships you want to build, because that's what life is all about. It really is.
I love it. When you're talking about, we always say in Fashion Week, be proactive and anticipate. So proactive anticipation. What you're saying exactly that. You're building relationships in between these notes you're taking at these different crime scenes, but you're talking about things for the future. And when you really need that person, they already know you're a good person. You don't not have that relationship, then call that same info officer and be like, I need everything. They're like, who are you?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, I'm offended you're calling me. Instead, of course, I'm going to reply that a text quickly with whatever I could give you, because I know you care about me well before you need me.
Yeah.
You know,
you're interested in the person, and, you know, being personable at the end of the day, is what plays successful throughout your entire life. And it might not be in business. It might be something else.
Right.
You, you just never know. You exactly. never know. And that's why I love to talk. I'm a people person. I love to talk to people. I love to, you know, get more than on the surface and ask the questions and stuff like that. And you know, I think more than anything, that's how you build, I guess, your relationships, and you build your circle mm-hmm. that can prove a little, you know, further than, you know, into your relationship, into your success and your career down the line.
Right. You've got probably tons and tons of accomplishments that have happened because of your actions and your habits. One, I know for a fact, is you meeting your wife and marrying her, Beatrice. That's a huge personal accomplishment based on how you are now. But can you give me your biggest accomplishment in business, in your career, from these habits that you formed?
You know, I think it's just the stepping stone in the progression of where I started and where I am now. And all of it comes back to hard work. Mm-hmm. I always refer back to my nephew because I'm trying to plant these seeds and instill this information in him now as he's an 18-year-old just getting into the real world. But I'm trying to explain to him anything worth having is worth working for.
Right.
Because if you build that house, if you build that foundation, that's going to prove longer. That's going to be the road to success farther than if you were to just get a quick fix or if something were to be given to you. So you want to build that foundation. I like how you referred to my wife because, you know, even in a marriage, in a relationship, that hard work, it's work, man. That is always required. Work in anything that you want to be successful.
Right.
So I think when you look at where I started, where I am, starting at KTLA in Los Angeles, thinking that, you know, I had the keys to the world and I was on top of the world, just out of college, you know, kind of the big man on campus. And then I had to take a step back and go to a small town like Pocatello, Idaho, right. where I cut my teeth and I learned how to do everything. I learned how to run a live shot. I learned how to run a live van. I mm-hmm. learned how to produce. I learned how to run the audio board, you know, all those stuff, all the things that I learned there, and then to take that huge step. So back in the days, it's now not the way that much as much nowadays, but what I did is I went to market, which was 165 at the time. Now, the way it's supposed to go is you cut that in half, and then you learn more, and then you cut and you take those next steps. I went from market 165 to market 15 at the time.
Wow.
Now Phoenix is market 11, and I took that huge step only because I had that foundation, and I think at the time, the boss realized, like, hey, this kid, one, knows everything or, you know, knows a lot of the business so far and is willing to work, and we'll give him a chance.
Right.
And you know, and so from there, I started in Flagstaff. I went to Flagstaff, still working for 3TV. Then I worked my way into the main station. Then I started as the morning reporter. Then I went to the weekend. I was a weekend anchor. Then I went to a 4:30 anchor. And so just that progression, I think that's what I'm most proud of, looking behind and looking at that road that was paved and where I am now and still looking forward and knowing that there's still work ahead.
And you forgot to talk about the many runways you've been on at Phoenix Fashion Week.
The runway to success,
exactly.
man. But, I mean, you know, you point back to a relationship that you and I have built over time.
Sure.
And you reached out. And I love doing this. I mean, yeah. this is an opportunity. I love being part of Phoenix Fashion Week. But I love where it's grown since the first time. What was it? You know, 7, 8 years ago.
9 years,
first time,
bro.
Yeah, the first
Crazy.
Time that I walked that runway. And now you look at it and you go, wow, and you can take a step back and think, you know, I've been part of it, and
for
then
sure.
watch your success and watch you grow.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. We always like to take our guests into the garment district.
Uh-huh.
This week, the garment district is brought by a young designer here locally, Lisa Marie Couture. I'll show you her Instagram after this. So check out Lisa Marie Couture. She's doing her thing. And we're going to come back to the garment district with Javier right after. We always like to thank our sponsors for supporting Fashion Rewired. The Phoenix Fashion Week Freelance Program. While building Phoenix Fashion Week into an effective fashion industry resource, we have been asked time and time again to recommend the services of our teammates and associates. So the natural next step has been to organize a system and network of fashion professionals that we could vouch for in the marketplace. The Phoenix Fashion Week Freelance Program is open to anyone needing fashion design, hairstyling, sales representation, photography, graphic design, web design, marketing, social media, styling, makeup artists, accessory design, videography, modeling, PR, event planning, and consulting. For more information, please email freelance@phoenixfashionweek.com. And we're back with Javier Soto. All right, so Javier, we're going to take you to the garment district, right? Some rapid-fire questions. So you and your career, we always like to talk about wholesale versus retail, okay? Wholesale means you are talking to the corporate level, distributing your information out to other media sites and things like that. Or are you about the end user when it comes to Javier Soto, the brand, wholesale or retail?
You know, I would say you have to appeal to both. And I think that's part of, I don't know if it's part of marketing or not, but the same way I talk to you, the same way I talk to a friend is the same way I talk to our corporate business folks at the top. And I think they appreciate that because they know the genuine person, and you're not going to get one person, a different individual when you're talking to one set of people. And then you don't have to switch it up. They'll realize that you're authentic from the beginning. And I think that's what proves true on television as well, that they get the authentic Javier Soto.
So Javier Soto, the brand, you're saying that you appeal the same way to corporate TV as you do to you, to myself and Robin here.
I would hope. I mean, that's the marketing plan. That's the pitch.
I like that. So let's talk about social media-wise, right? So Javier Soto, the brand, what is the number one digital platform that you feel you engage the most and you get the most traction from your followers and fans?
For us, in television, it's mostly Facebook. And I know Facebook is becoming a thing of the past, and you talk about Instagram and all you know, the followers that you accumulate there. People look at brand ambassadors based on Instagram nowadays. But for us, it's Facebook, only because you have that platform, you have the video, and most of our viewers tend to skew older.
I get it. So when you're talking about Facebook, and that's where your biggest engagement is, talk about a resource or something that you feel you do on Facebook that people really attract to the most. What is it? Is it Facebook Live for you? Is it a post? Is it? How do you engage the most in Facebook successfully?
You know, what's funny is maybe about a year and a half ago, we started this Facebook Live in the morning. And in your morning viewership, you only have a handful of people, so to speak. Our objective was to continue doing that Facebook Live every morning, because regardless of who slept in late, who we were going to be guaranteed the handful of people that who we attracted. And that's proven successful time and time again. So every morning when we wake up, we have the same set of people who we use, we call our usual suspects. Yeah. We got 35, 40 people who wake up with us every morning, and we know we're guaranteed those viewers, because what they've done is they've created their own community. And that's been cool in itself, watching that. As people wake up, they know each other's lives. They say good morning to each other, regardless of what we start out with. And that's important. When you can secure that many people and you know those are going to be your followers regardless of the day of rain, sunshine, 110 heat, those are going to be the folks there. That's something that you can't buy.
Sure. So you actually built a community within Facebook Live on Facebook. Yeah. I love that. And that's turning to be a successful thing for you, Javier Soto, the brand, but also Good Morning Arizona as well, right?
Yeah, what we've seen in the market is since we started that, more stations have started doing their Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Because they've seen, you know, again, you're guaranteed 40, 50 people, that group, to watch you and follow you daily. And I would argue that other day parts in news are trying to do that as well.
Got it. So you probably don't have very much time to get on social media yourself, but who do you follow on social media that inspires you today?
There's so many people. I mean, you know, social media is so widespread. One of the guys who I've been following for a long time, and I met him about a year and a half ago, his name is Michael Morelli. It is Morelli Fit. He has a brand, MFit, and I've watched him over the years, a year and a half or so, progress and build his own community, because again, it's about community, especially when you have a brand. And he's a fitness trainer, a fitness expert, and what he's done is create this community where they follow him religiously, and he has, I mean, just widespread information out there in helping the people.
Sure.
And I've watched him transform people's lives, transform people's bodies, and it's really cool to watch. And so maybe about a year ago or so, I saw him walking in Scottsdale, and I ran up to him, and I go, Michael, dude, I'm a fan. You know,
yeah.
I'm like, can we get you on our show? I'd love to have you on the show. And since, he's become a really good friend. But on all his platforms, and he has various platforms, various profiles, he has 5 million followers.
Wow.
And I mean, talk about following someone religiously. These people eat, breathe, and live Michael Morelli. And it's cool to watch because he has such great information, and they're buying into the lifestyle of living healthy.
For sure. That is dope, for sure. And you're always in good shape, too. So any tips that you're getting from him that makes you look like this, that's a win. So keep doing that.
You got to work, man. You got to work. I mean, and that goes back into everything else. If you want results in the gym, if you want results in life, you have to work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, again, I still think that you have no time to have a good time, but do you have time to read books? Are you out there reading it all?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Give us a couple books that you feel we need to read to succeed.
One thing that I've learned over the time, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, for the longest time, I don't have the attention span to sit there and read a book. I could gobble up news article after news article. I can read the newspaper from front to back. I know, but I still like doing that. I actually do.
Yeah.
I just didn't have the attention span. But what I've learned over time is anybody who's been successful has always gone back to books. If you want to learn something, that's where your biggest learning comes from.
For sure.
And
for
so sure. Right now, it's kind of off the beaten path, but I'm really into trying to learn about the stock market.
Okay.
And so right now, I'm trying to gobble up anything that
Timothy Sykes
has out there. And he's an investor. He's a hedge fund manager.
What's your favorite book from him so far?
I believe it's I'm trying to think
of the
proper title. It's Hedge Fund. Another one is Investors for Dummies.
Okay.
And what he talks about are penny stocks, because to me, I want to learn how to stretch your dollar, how to make that money last. It's one thing to have a few dollars in your pocket, and when you start with no money in your pocket and you have a few dollars in your pocket, you go, okay, you're feeling good about yourself. But how do you stretch that money? How do you make it last over time? And how are you able to teach your family how to do that?
Exactly.
And change the course of our lives, you know, long lasting.
That's legacy.
Yeah.
We're talking about right
Big
there.
Time.
I love that. So Timothy Sykes, I'm going to look him up for sure. So I'm going to take you back to the younger Javier. It could have been the high school Javier.
Uh-huh.
Could be younger. But I want you to go back to that younger Javier and tell younger Javier some advice that could get you to the current level of success you have now, but way faster. What would that advice be?
It goes back to work. It's one thing to dream big, but a dream with no action is merely a dream. I'm trying to think of which R&B group said it out there, but dreams are for those who sleep. And if you sleep on that dream, man, it'll come and disappear just like that.
No question.
And if you don't see those opportunities and take those opportunities and really work toward those opportunities, it'll never happen.
Right.
And I think it's kind of been a double-edged sword for me, because I know when I work, I know the results. But then on the opposite side of that, I know that when I want to turn it on, I can.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, you get a bit complacent where you go, okay, you know, I'll get there. When I'm ready, I'll do it, instead of taking that action initially. So I think I would tell the old Javier, it's there for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to go after it now and don't wait around for it to come to you.
That's excellent. What can we be excited about for the rest of 2018 for Javier Soto, the brand?
We just launched a new set, and I got to tell you, man, it's like coming from cable access channel to actual real news.
Yeah.
We've been on that set since 1980-something, so we're actually really excited about the launch of this new set. We got some new branding. We're getting back to our roots in talking about Arizona's family. And what that has to do with is getting back out into the community.
Sure.
About a year and a half ago, we launched our Surprise Squad. And what the Surprise Squad entails is really getting back into the community and helping where we can. And when you get out there, you realize that the need is tremendous. And you can go from something small as a couple weeks ago, we went out and we were filling up gas tanks. We pulled into gas stations. And we simply walked up to people and said, hey, can I fill up your gas tank? We know gas prices are rising, and we know it's denting your pocketbook, and we know it plays out into the family as well, where you have to start cutting back. And I kid you not, more often than not, we got tears, people crying.
Wow.
People like, you know, we've had to change up the way we do business. We had to tell our kids we couldn't go on this vacation. You know, we had to scale back where they couldn't be involved in extracurricular activities because we can't afford the gas.
Sure.
We had this one individual, he pulled up and it looked like he might have been living out of his car. And we walked up and he was a big dude. And I walk up and initially, you know, they're like, what do you want? What do you want? And I said, you know, can I fill up your gas tank today? And he looked at me and he said, what's the catch? And I said, no catch. We just want to help our community. We know gas prices are on the rise. So I filled up his tank. And after I handed him $100, I take that back. Let me reverse. I asked him, I said, you know, what's going on with you? How you doing today? And he explained to me, we're on our way to bury my grandma.
Mm.
And it's been rough. And we came here to fill up so we could get to the funeral. And I said, you know, it sounds like you're having a rough time. I said, let me help you out a little bit. And I handed him a $100 gift card. And I said, this is to help put gas in your car. What we didn't know is his wife had just walked in to pay for the gas with change. She literally had $1.42 in her hands. And that was going to help them get to their grandma's funeral. When the attendant explained to her, 3TV, Arizona's family is taking care of this. You don't have to pay for this. She came out in tears.
Wow.
And she was beside herself, and she says, we didn't know how we were going to get there. We didn't know if this $1.42 was going to get us there. You helped us. You have no idea how much you have helped us. And it's those little things that it might not solve all your problems, but it helps just a little bit, lifts the burden just a little bit.
For sure.
And that's what we're trying to get back into in the community. We know that news, yes, a lot of doom and gloom out there, death and destruction, but we're trying to change the pace a little bit and help out our community. And that's what the Surprise Squad and Arizona's family is all about.
Dude, that's solid. That's solid. Honestly, at Fashion Week, we're all about fashion, education, and community. Today's podcast is a lot about education, but it's also a lot about community. What you just talked about right now is really what I care about. I want our designers to learn how to run a fashion business that's sustainable, that they can have for their legacy, right? And I don't want people succeeding. I don't want people failing because they didn't have the education or they didn't know about the drive. So as I bring on different guests for Fashion Rewired, the little bit of nuggets they're getting from you today, we're going to make into a blueprint that is Javier's blueprint. And they can download it for free at Fashion Rewired. And then they can be inspired by what you said today and keep it in their pocket. And maybe down the road, someone's shaking your hand when they see you on the street. So thank you a ton for being on Fashion Rewired, the podcast, my man.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, man. And I have to give you props. And when you talk about community, I don't know if we're running out of time here, but
never.
You know, when you talk about community, it is so much about giving back. And I think the older you get, the more you realize, because this is your community, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a newscaster, whether you're the mailman,
yeah.
You have a sense of pride in who you're surrounded with, who you're surrounded by. But to reflect on that, I've watched you be part of this community, and specifically when you talk about State 48,
yeah.
You came to me, what was it, 3 years ago,
yeah.
4 years ago, and you says, hey, I have these kids up and coming, and they're hungry, you know, give them props however you can, And I've watched you be part of that brand and watch that brand. And it's such a cool story with three Chandler kids who just had a dream, and look at them now. Right. And I always tell Mike this. I said, dude, I remember when I was the only cool one wearing this T-shirt, and people were walking up to me and say, hey, man, where'd you get that T-shirt? And now you look everywhere and you look at this brand, but it's not only about these T-shirts. It's about being part of this community and the community embracing them back.
Exactly.
And saying, you know what? This is our brand here. And we've seen it reflected across all sports organizations here in the Valley, and really as society as a whole. And I know, just to give you props, you got to be proud of that, because you were part of that success. And I thank you.
Thank you, bro. I mean, I'm really proud of State 48. I'm proud of those guys because they came to me with a dream, like you said. But they were super humble and transparent. And they said, we want to learn and work hard. The exact same recipes that you said got you to where you are today. And we talked about being the I Heart New York shirt for Arizona. That was the goal, and that's what they're becoming.
Oh, big time.
They are the shirt. They are the number one lifestyle brand for Arizona. And Phoenix Fashion Week is super proud of them. I'm glad you believed me in the very beginning.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's a dope brand. It really is a dope brand. And it gets you a sense of your community. I've worn it in Los Angeles. I like to wear one of those shirts so I could take a picture, because I want them to post me as their hometown hero.
For sure.
But more often than not, I'll get stopped out and about, and they go, "Hey, what is that? Mm-hmm. You know, what's it? State 48?" And then you explain, that's Arizona.
Yeah, man.
And then they all think it's cool, and it really is. And it's cool just being part of them, and it's cool being knowing them and watching them progress and watching them make their dream come true.
No doubt, no doubt. Thank you so much for being on today, Javier Soto. Good morning, Arizona. Just a good friend of mine, and we'll see you on the runways of Fashion Week in October.
Oh, without a doubt. Thank
Fashion
you for
Week Wired.
Invite.
See you next week. Thank you. Phoenix Fashion Week at Talking Stick Resort, October 18 through 20, 2018. Phoenix Fashion Week is the leading fashion industry event in the Southwest. The organization's mission is to bridge the gap between national and international designers and premier retailers and top fashion media. Phoenix Fashion Week's ultimate goal is to garner global exposure for Arizona's fashion industry through educational fashion seminars, year-round fashion events, and charitable partnerships. Phoenix Fashion Week is gaining rapid acclaim for its community service efforts and for infusing world-class innovation into the Southwest. For more information and tickets, phoenixfashionweek.com.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly 30-minute podcast focused on the business of fashion. Fashion Rewired is all about the successful transformation of your mind, perspective, and daily approach to your fashion brand. Make sure you listen next week for the Fashion Rewired podcast with Brian Hill.